Gospel of John, look at chapter number 6, verse number 35, and I want to share with you next thought concerning this bread of life that we've been looking at here in these days. And I want to say that I thank God for the Word of God that has already been preached here tonight, and thank God for the truth, and I agree with that. Wholeheartedly, 100%. Don't matter if I agree with it or not, but I like to hear truth, and I like to hear preaching that I can agree with, and I can get on board with. And I thank God for the truth, and praise God for true salvation. And there is a difference. If you ever really get saved, like the preacher was saying, if you ever really hear. And you ever really get converted, it'll all be different. Everything will be different. And I thank God it's that way. It's not something that once it happens, you're left the rest of your life wondering, did I ever really get it? Was there ever really? No, it's not that way. It's a complete and an absolute change, and there will not be a question whether or not God has done something in you and for you. And I am thankful for that this evening. All right, John chapter number 6, verse 35. If you'd like to stand with us, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. And we'll read verse 35 again here tonight in your hearing and try to give you what God's laid on our heart. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You may be seated. Thank you for standing with us this evening. Father, we bow in your presence again. Lord, I am thankful for what my ears have heard tonight. I'm thankful for what my heart has felt. Lord, I thank you that the truths of your word resonate with me. And Lord, I am thankful tonight for the reality of true and full salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray and ask you tonight, Father, help me, Lord, not to be, Lord, one that would confuse. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd give me direction. I pray that you'd guide my tongue and guide my mind. And, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help me to speak well of your darling Son and to magnify the Lamb of God here in this service tonight. Father, I pray you'd forgive me, cleanse me, and purge me of any wrongdoing, anything, God, that would make me an unfit vessel. Now I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, to stand and proclaim the truth tonight. In Jesus' high and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been looking here at this I am statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. We introduced it on last night, and we said that we had three major thoughts concerning what Jesus says here. And I know on last night we went back and we picked up a little bit there in the book of Exodus, and we looked there and we saw that this was nothing new. The Lord introducing himself in such terms of I am, but he also did that with Moses. I am that I am. And he says there, when he says I am, he is saying, I will be who I will be. And he encompasses in that statement both past, present, and future. He says, who I have been, I am right now, and that is who I will always be. And thank God for it. We've tried to point out to you that this is simple bread here. That the Lord Jesus Christ used simple terms that simple men could understand. He said that he was that part of the meal that everybody knows and recognizes, that bread that is set forth on the table. We tried to look at the process that goes into preparing bread, and how that a grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die, how that it must be harvested and reaped, how that it must be ground, and how that it must be put through the fires of the furnace before it can ever be served. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is actually the bread of life to my soul and to your soul this evening? Amen. I want to say this. It's not just enough for us to hear about Him and to agree concerning some truths about Him. As it's already been preached and laid forth tonight, it is not enough to have a little religious ceremony. It is not enough to have had an emotional experience. It is not enough to know the Scriptures. It is not enough to come and sit in meetings. But I'm telling you, you must taste, you must eat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Jesus is not just simple bread, but Jesus Christ must be sampled bread. The Lord Jesus Christ must be received by each one of us personally. Yeah. Well, I can't help but think about Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And I want to say an unsampled and unreceived Christ is no help to any man. Just as fresh baked bread which is left uneaten will do nothing to stop anyone's hunger, so a Christ that is not received, a Christ that is not tasted, will do your soul no good. We use the illustration this morning. If you came to me and said, "Oh, Brother Justin, I'm starving to death. If I don't eat something soon, I'll surely die." And I said, "Well, come on in, man. Sit down at the table. I got a cake of cornbread in the oven. It's baking. It's ready to be done here before long." And you sit there and smell the aroma of that bread as it baked. And then finally the timer went off. And I got that bread out and I set it down on the table. And man, you looked at it and you could see it. It smelled good. It looked good. And then I said, "Well, you said you're starving. Cut you a piece of that out of there. Sit here and eat it. I'll get you a glass of milk. Make a meal out of it." Yeah. You said, "No, I think I'm fine now. I'll just go on down the road and I'll journey on." And it was enough to smell it. It was enough to see it. No, if you're a starving man, you probably wouldn't even wait for me to say cut you off a piece before you dived headlong into that hot cornbread and you receive that good cold milk and you begin to give your body what it needed to survive. I want to say it's not enough to come in here and to sit service after service, meeting after meeting, and hear about Him and smell Him and see Him presented, and yet never feast of the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll do you no good. Oh, the water in the cup may be clear. It may be pure. It may be refreshing. But it cannot satisfy your thirst unless you drink it. To get a personal taste of the Savior is the most important thing to the starving man's soul. And the question is this: how can it be done? How can I get Him? How can I have Him? How is Jesus Christ to become a Savior to me? And we'll find that in this chapter. And you'll find it elsewhere in the Word of God. The hope and way of getting Christ never hinges on our fitness, our merit, our preparation, or our worth. The text simply says, "He that comes to me." It says nothing of our fitness before coming, nor of any actions of merit. The text says nothing of personal improvement or self-worth. And aren't you thankful it doesn't? This is a point of rejoicing. When we are made to understand our lost and our helpless condition and the righteous demand of the law upon us, we realize we could never be or do enough to save ourselves. It is a simple coming as a beggar for alms, or as a child who sees that what he faces is beyond him, and he turns and runs to his father and asks for help. I want to say this: help can only come from another of greater means and standing than we ourselves. And when you come to that conclusion, you'll realize that all of mankind in and of himself is vanity. And there is but one who is of greater standing and wealth who is able to become your kinsman redeemer. There's only one who has the price required. There's only one who can pay the debt you owe. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The other description given in our text is he that believes on me. Well, aren't you thankful that here the Lord Jesus did not just pinpoint the problem and say, look, just as you were the day that I set you down and broke those loaves of bread and those fishes and fed your physical body, just as you were hungry that day and needed something, so you are starving and you are dead spiritually, and the inner man needs something to feed and to feast upon that he might live. Yeah. Jesus pinpointed their problem. And then he declares himself to be the answer to their problem. But aren't you glad he goes even further than that? And he gives them instruction. He doesn't just leave them there scratching their head. What does he mean? How do we feast? How do we eat? How do we get from him what we need? But he gives them two points of simple instruction. Come to me and believe on me.
Yeah.
Our text says, he that comes to me, he that believes on me. And I want to say there is nothing there in believing of your merit either. In fact, faith stands in direct opposition to your works, to your merits, to your idea of somehow being good enough. As long as that's your attitude, you'll never have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read that we are to eat and drink of Christ, the act is entirely one of receiving. There is nothing that we must supply for ourselves, but everything has been provided for us, reminding us of the passage. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Oh, this isn't one of those bring your own meal or bring your own refreshments kind of deal. Jesus said, you come to me and I will supply the whole feast. You come to me believing and looking to me. You come to me as I require you to come to me. And everything you need for your soul, you'll find I provided it for you.
Yes, sir.
It is all a matter of receiving. We must come to him, in fact, empty-handed. We believe in him without believing we deserve him. And in this way, Jesus displays most fully His mercy and His grace as the only Savior of the soul. I want to say, I want to consider this instruction for just a moment with you. I won't get through all this. I don't believe it's the will of God for me to press on and get through all of it tonight. I want to just give you the portion that I feel like that the Lord has put on my heart for you this evening. The first is that we come to Him. He that comes unto me shall never hunger. And then He sweetens it just a couple verses over in verse 37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
This represents the first act of obedience in faith, by which we enter into spiritual life. We are in our natural state alienated from Christ. But after hearing the gospel, like our brother preached tonight, I mean really hearing the gospel, we are by the Holy Spirit led to think on Him, to consider Him, to study Him, and to judge that He is the Savior that we need. Our separation and disregard for Christ is miraculously turned into a desire for and a coming to Him in hopes of redemption. We come to Him. It is a motion of the heart towards Him more than it is a motion of the feet. As our brothers already said tonight, there are many who came to Jesus in body and yet never came to Him in truth. They were close to Him in the crowd, but they never actually reached out with a hand of faith and touched the hem of His garment that the virtue might come out of Him and save them. The coming here, men, is performed by desire, by prayer, by assent to the truth and consent to what He says, by trust and obedience. And all these are led by repentance, or turning from self and sin to the Savior. I'm talking about a complete and an absolute change of mind and heart. I've talked to some folk who said, I believed on Him. I've come to Him. I've repented. And I'm not saved. And I'm sitting back now waiting on God to do His part. I'm telling you, you've missed it. You have not repented. You have not believed. And you have not come to Him. Or you'd be saved by His grace. You may have come close, but you did not come through. I'm telling you, true repentance, true coming, true believing is when you have been brought to the place by the Spirit of God that you will gladly and happily turn your back on everything else and run headlong to Jesus. And as it's been said tonight, fall on His grace and trust Him. Don't tell me you believed. Don't tell me you've come. Don't tell me you've repented if you are not saved. You may have done it to the best of your knowledge and ability. But what do we say about your merits and your works? They're absolutely useless when it comes to saving faith. And I'm telling you, all it'll take is for one of these glorious days, the gospel of Jesus Christ will ring in your ears again
And God the Holy Ghost will attend that word and come into your heart and begin to stir you and awaken you and bring you to quickening in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, you'll know what true coming is. You'll know what true believing is. You'll know what true repentance is, because it'll be active in your life. Oh, it'll not be in theory. It'll be in reality. Acts 26:15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Then Paul looked up at old King Agrippa. He said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." Oh, Paul could testify. Say, "I know exactly why God met me that day on the road. I know exactly why God brought me later on to a saving faith. And I know exactly, King Agrippa, why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because one day the Lord Jesus Christ revealed Himself to me in power, and I repented, and I came, and I believed, and I followed on. And now He's put me to preaching that others might repent and turn from their evil works to Jesus Christ and be saved." Oh, to come to Him means that when you actually really hear who Christ is and learn what He has done, that He is the God-man, that He came into the world to take your sins upon Himself and to be punished in your place. Oh, when you ever actually really hear that, your response will be, "If He died for all those who trust Him, then I will trust Him. If He's offered so great a sacrifice upon the tree for guilty men, and I'm a guilty man, then I will rely upon that sacrifice and make it the basis of my hope." This is coming to Jesus Christ. The term is very simple, yet it is not so easily explained to others. Sometimes because of its simplicity, men scoff at it. I want to say most of all because it must be taught of the Father, or you will never learn it. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and you can get every other preacher in this room up and have them preach till they collapse from exhaustion. But unless God the Holy Ghost divinely makes it real to your heart, it'll wash over you like water over a stone, and you'll never get it. But oh, we pray and long for the day when God will get a hold of that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, and all of a sudden the same old truths that you couldn't get before become real to your soul. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16:15, he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He didn't say, Man, Peter, you must have really been paying attention in Sunday school. Man, you must have really been reading through the catechism. No, he said this truth that enables you to hang all your hopes and faith on me has not come to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. Preacher already kind of hit on it a little bit tonight. And I'm not mocking it or belittling it. I guarantee you there's a lot of you in here tonight. I could sit down across from the table with you. And we could go down the catechism and we could look at a doctrinal thesis of theology. And I bet we could sit there and you could mark off all the things that you've heard and agree with. You could run it right down the line. There's some of you in here, you have in your head more truth than a lot of Baptist preachers I know. But I'm telling you right now, as of yet, it's not doing you any good. Why? Because all it is dead letter laying in a dead head. And it's going to take God the Holy Ghost to come by your way one day and quicken that truth to your heart and make it real. And then it'll no longer be something dead, but it'll be living, real truth in your life and in your heart. Just like we talked about this morning, it'll be that kind of truth that allows you to sit down at the dinner table and look at the basket of bread and push back for a minute and say, Glory to the bread of life who saved me and who fed the starving man within me. Yeah. I'm talking about real truth. Real truth. Real truth. You can tell me all day you believe something, but until it's actively working in your life, it's nothing but dead letter to you. I'm going to close with this. Try to illustrate what I've been saying here. This idea of coming to Jesus. I want to do it with an old hymn. I read somewhere that Mr. Wesley, one morning, while dressing, was looking out his window out towards the sea, and there was a heavy wind blowing, and the waves were very high, and the rain was falling very heavy. And just then, a little bird overtaken by the storm flew in at the open window and nestled in Mr. Wesley's bosom. And he put his hands around it and he cherished it there. And he waited for the storm to pass. And then he took that little bird back over to the window and let him go. And he promptly went and sat down and wrote these words, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is nigh, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into thy haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Wilt thou not regard my call? Wilt thou not accept my prayer? Lo, I sink, I faint, I fall. Lo, on thee I cast my care. Reach me out thy gracious hand, while I of thy strength receive. Hoping against hope I stand, dying, and behold I live. Thou, O Christ, are all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lend the blind. Lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. Vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound. Make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart. Rise to all eternity. Dear friend, my instruction to you tonight is to imitate that poor little bird. As you feel the winds, the waves, the storms of sin beating down upon your soul, and you feel that you cannot bear to fly any longer, and you feel that you must fall to your death and to your doom, would you not look yonder to the open window of Christ and flee to His bosom? Say, oh, preacher, dare I? Oh, dear friend, please dare to run to Jesus. How many more times must we tell you that He has promised that He will not turn you away? You may have come off times of your own volition, but oh, that tonight would be the night that you'd come by His bidding. That you'd come because it's God who is speaking to your heart saying, come to me.
Amen.
Come to me. Yeah. Come to me. Not because Brother Justin said come. Not because Preacher Rutherford said come. Because the voice of all the ages has rung in the corridor of your heart and soul, said, come to me. And oh, for the first time you've had ears to hear, and you heard, and your heart's been stirred, then come to Jesus. And that is the first bit of instruction that He leaves us with in our text. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what the gnawing hunger is.
Yeah.
I remember before God saved me. And I didn't know what all was going on, but He was already stirring and dealing in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was making me sick of my sin
and
myself.
Yeah.
I remember there was such a void there that nothing in this world could fill. And I remember I tried to drown it out. I'd go spend time with my friends and I'd go hang out in loud places so as to try to drown that out. But the problem was every night I had to go home and I had to lay down in my own bed in the darkness and the stillness of my own room. And then God, the Holy Ghost, would invade my mind and my heart. And I'd feel that longing again and that emptiness again. There were many nights I laid there and wept in my bed. I said, God, don't let me die tonight. God, don't let me die tonight. I knew if I died, I'd die in my sins and I'd go to hell. I'd lay there and weep and wrestle and struggle, and I'd pray what I thought was praying and do what I thought I could do. Yet I was not saved. And dear friend, I know what that hungering is. I know what that emptiness is. I think sometimes you get the idea these preachers don't know where you're at and they can't understand how you feel. Let me tell you, we've been there. We know. That's why we want you to come on through, because I remember the gnawing pains of the hunger of my soul.
Yes.
I remember the sleepless nights. I remember the laying in agony and crying out. But I also remember the glorious day that my ears were tuned to the gospel and I heard it preached and I heard it for the first time. And God quickened me and brought me. And the first bit of instruction that we're given, come to me. Come to me. Until you come to Him, you can try to practice everything else you think you need, but none of it's going to do any good until you come to Him. Father, I thank You for